Boom, and we're live, as a wise man once said.
Episode 12 of the Projection Podcast.
Yeah.
Brought to you by...
Hamish William MacArthur from York.
Maximilian Jonathan Milne from Aberdeen and... recently moved to Yorkshire.
Boom. Yeah, episode 12. We're getting to the higher numbers where I'm going to have to start saying what number it is. Max is going to lose fingers to count on.
I've got toes still, so it's all good.
Yeah, going well. People still seem to be liking it. If you're just laughing at us, that's fine. If you're enjoying what we're saying, that's also fine. So yeah, keep giving us feedback.
If we're inspiring you to train, then that's cool. If you're learning anything from us, then that's also pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm learning stuff from us.
I learn from Hamish a lot. When I'm doing my core set, and I'm like tired, and I'm like, Hamish is trying hard. I gotta try hard. But then I'm like, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, I missed the course set the other day because I wasn't feeling too well. Had to make the call. Do I push through feeling ill and like had a bit of a headache and a bit dizzy and stuff. So yeah, I had to make the decision. Do I risk it and potentially make it so it's harder for me to recover from this and I have to take like another couple days of training? Or do I just miss this set, not push myself, relax, drink some tea and watch daytime TV? And I opted for that, but I didn't really want to and I felt guilty, but then I spoke to my coach and he said it was the right decision, which made me feel better about myself.
For sure. I get like that as well, but as you said, bro, it takes confidence to take a rest day and you take the rest day.
Yeah.
But that's exactly. Different as well because you're ill.
Yeah. And it's this stuff like, as you were telling me as well, because I was speaking to you about it, because I wasn't sure what to do. You were saying, like, if you're ill, you're like, your body's going to be using energy to recover. So even if you do this core set, you're probably not going to get much benefit out of it, because all your adaptation... yeah, there's like a theory that your body has a certain amount of adaptation per day, which Ross Edgley's promoted, and I've listened to that. So like, all my adaptation is going to be towards getting better and fixing whatever's... my bug I've got or that sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about
making gains.
I thought about that as well, like and then I've got a story about Ross Edgley as well afterwards to remind me. that so if you did train but you didn't recover as well, then you have your rest day today, you wouldn't actually be recovering as well in your rest day, so next week of training you might not even be fully recovered for that week, and then that could have overstressed your body and led to maybe getting some niggles or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know what actually. I mean? Yeah, I get exactly what you mean. Like, yeah, my rest day won't be... my body on my rest day, I won't be using my rest day to recover. I'll be using it to fight off whatever I've got. So it'll basically be like I don't have a rest day and I'll just train for like two weeks straight, which is not good at the intensity that we're training.
Nah. And also that I feel like that can lead to burnouts mentally as well. If you're doing like say a session which you usually feel good at and you're like, it's my first day on and I feel so shit. But in reality it won't feel like your first day on because you were just ill.
Yeah, and on that topic, before we got onto your Ross Edgley story, which I haven't forgotten about, like similar to that, like when I was not feeling good, I was really not wanting to train, just for that like one day. I was, like, I mean, I felt like I physically could probably push myself through it, but I was like feeling like the thought of pushing myself to my limit was like something that I really, really didn't want to do, and that's pretty rare for me. I'm usually excited for that sort of thing. and just to see where it goes and see where I can go inside my head. But this was just like, I was thinking about it, and I was just really wanting to just lie down in some dark room. And that was probably because my body was just telling me somehow that it wouldn't benefit me to do that. Like, that is not the priority at the moment. The priority is fixing myself so I can get back to training hard instead of pushing through the pain, potentially making stuff worse. So yeah, just gotta listen to yourself.
100%.
Go on, Max. Tell us about Ross.
Okay, so I don't think I told you this, but I had a dream. Okay, it was me and you were at Boulder UK for Plywood Masters, I think it was. But Boulder UK looked well different. It looks sick. But anyway, me and you, in qualification, or maybe we finished, and we both qualified for finals in like first place. Big man Ross Edsley walks through the door. We go up and chat to him, and we get on his YouTube channel. Then we're all there telling him what climbing is. He's filming us. And then, we just become buddies with Ross, and we get a bit of followers because we were on his channel.
That sounds sick. That sounds like a dream come true.
No, it was a really cool dream, to be honest.
Well, cool. Yeah. Boom. Let's do it. Let's go to Boulder UK.
Yep, let's go Boulder UK and go meet big man Ross Edgley. I wonder how good he'd be at climbing.
Not very good.
But I feel like he'd be better than, like, he wouldn't be, I feel like if he trained, he could climb V6 pretty fast, maybe.
I feel like he could. Yeah, I mean, he is very heavy looking, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's built. Well, then,
he has the dedication to, like, slim down for, you know?
Yeah, I think it depends on the V6 in question. Some, definitely, some like...
Slab.
Some like big fat pinches on a steep wall. I bet he could, but not something like techie and crimpy and delicate.
What was it? So the other day, I went out to Shipley Glen to go outdoor climbing with Aidan Dunn. That was the first time he was climbing since lockdown. Like, climbing outside. So he was buzzing. Like, me and him are both on cloud nine, and we were just bouncing off each other, and it was sick because I haven't seen him in ages. But we did this 60 plus slab. Oh my god, bruv, it's hard. 60 plus slab is nails.
Yeah, when it's like 25 degrees on grit.
Nah, it wasn't the heat. The heat was fine. Like, it was like 20. But I had a cool breeze. Maybe the currents were a little bad, but I think 60 plus in a slab is hard. I swear down. There was a 7B plus slab, and I was like, I've got no idea how to do this.
Yeah, I get it. It's just a completely different style of climbing. I haven't really had much experience.
But yeah, Mark said it was a good send to do 60 plus on a slab. I was gassed.
Understandably,
it's the tick of my life.
Dream boulder. People have asked us a lot what our dream boulder is. It was that Max has just done it.
Yep. Now I really want to do the AA slab in Font. That will be sick, bro.
Which we're gonna. I'm sure there's multiple.
Now there's one which is it's in between the trees as well, and Leo Favert.
Oh, he's done it as well. Yeah, recently. Yeah, I saw that. I can't remember the name. Yeah.
It's in
French.
We
should know that. The name. Should I tell people about my dream since you've discussed yours I was telling you about earlier?
Yeah, go.
Go. Okay. it was like an epiphany within a dream. It was sick. I've never had one like this. It was like some lesson that I had in my head or something I'd been so deeply internalized. And it was just like my dream is just all about it. It was cool. It was a cool experience. So yeah, I was asleep, as you do. And then I was dreaming that I was at a climbing World Cup, lead World Cup in Austria. I think it was in Imst. And yeah, I was in isolation. Like, my whole dream was set in isolation there, before the finals. And I was going out, and I won qualies and won semis, and I was going out for finals in first. And I was a little bit nervous. And I was thinking, like, how do I win this? Because I've been in so many finals and I've not won yet. And I was thinking to myself, how do I win this? What do I need to do? And then I had this, like, mantra in my head that I just needed to get out my own way and trust myself. And those are the two little statements that were just always going through my head, and I was telling myself that, and my whole dream was like me trying to internalize that instead of just saying it and telling myself what I need to do. It was trying to like understand those two things and that they're effectively the same thing. And then my dream ended before I got to see how I performed. I may have had a foot slip at the first clip in this hypothetical dream world, but we'll never know.
Yeah. Do you ever like have this really sick dream and you wake up and you go back and you're trying to fall asleep again to get back into the dreamland, but it doesn't work? That happens to me a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actively tried to fall asleep back into a dream. Like, when I wake up, I'm pretty awake usually.
Yeah. It's sometimes hard to get out of bed, isn't it? Because it's so comfortable. Like,
yeah,
you just, I don't know, like, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
I usually drink a cup of tea quite close to bed, so in the morning I don't have too long before I need to get up.
Oh yeah, I always drink a cup of tea before bed, but then I have to go for a piss right before bed, because my bladder's weak as fuck.
Yeah, I probably should, because I wake up at like 7:30 or whatever, and I'm like, I want to stay in bed, but I'm like, I need to get up, and then I can't go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, my dad said this as well. He was like, Max, you always start stories in the podcast and I'll forget what you're speaking about. I was like, well, sometimes things pop in your head and they just pop out. So, I apologize if I annoy any of the viewers, but it's just my mind.
Busy brain.
You know, with your idea of trusting yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's very true.
But I think yeah, that's I can attest to it.
Real. Like, I hear, I don't want to speak about him too much, but Sugar Sean, he says how he just gets in this calm state before his fights, and he doesn't really think, he's done all the work and his body knows what to do, and then he just lets it perform, like he trusts it and just lets it perform. And that's quite a similar thought from what you had.
Yeah, it's basically the same. But I mean, there's a big difference between, I think what a lot of people interpret by trusting themselves is telling themselves they're going to win or telling themselves they're good enough. It's not trusting.
I don't think that's what it is.
It's not. No, it's not. It's not trusting that you're going to win. It's trusting that you know what you're doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So in our form of climbing, it'd be like, you look at the route, you analyze it, until you know what you're doing. And you don't have to think about it too much. You don't need to dwell on it and think about every single outcome or any outcome. You just have to look at it, know what you need to, execute. Yeah? Know what you have to execute and just trust that you're going to do it and go up. And
yeah, I mean, if we've been climbing for like 15 years, pretty much, well, not quite, but close, like between 10 and 15 years, you've got a pretty ingrained understanding of movement and stuff. And I think a lot of problems I have, and you have, and every climber has, is that they overanalyze everything, and they don't realize if you've been doing something every single day for like an absurd amount of years, that you're probably going to be better at it if you don't get in your own way and you don't start like having to make every decision consciously. Because like realistically, you shouldn't need to do that, and you don't really need to do that. You just need to like truly believe that you've got the ability to do it, and that you don't need to do it like consciously. You will just execute these moves because you've done it 1,000 times before.
Yeah, this is my metaphor that I've made up. So it's like a running river. So it's flowing in one direction, and that is you letting yourself go. And by using, by thinking too much or whatever, you're putting big stones in the way, which is stopping the flow of the water.
Yeah.
That's my little analyst, but it's probably shit, but I tried.
if it makes sense to you, it's good. Yeah.
The picture in my head sounded better, but...
No, I like it. It's more about unlearning and removing those blockages rather than putting more things in the way to try and direct the water flow. You can't really change the path of a river with stones. You're only going to delay the inevitable in some way. You just need to go with the flow.
Yeah, like removing yourself or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Unlearning rather than learning.
I've got this book about... I'm going to start reading this book about Zen Buddhism. I want to see what that's about.
What's your Zen book called? You can't just say you're going to read a book and not tell anyone what it is.
An introduction to Zen Buddhism.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think it's quite cool. I think it just goes about what Zen actually is and what it means to different people. I'm going to read that. But I've got this book, the QI book of Advanced Banter, you know? And the whole book is just quotes from famous people, and it's like a dictionary. So it goes from A to Z of words. So advice is an example. Oh, what? Afterlife. Strange is it not that of the mirage who before us passed the door of darkness through. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that doesn't make no sense to me.
Okay.
People mixing up word order and just trying to sound clever.
We do not know what to do with this short life, yet we yearn for another that will be internal.
Basically, this is in a song, I can't remember what it was called, but I think that's what that quote is getting at. And it was like, I think it was Modest Mouse song. It was saying like, if you waste a life, why wouldn't you waste an afterlife?
Yeah.
Which I thought was... That's what that's trying to say.
Yeah, basically, who's saying this life is not as valuable or more valuable as the afterlife, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool. But I was going to read the one from Happiness because I feel like me and Hamish quite like that. Happiness is a way of travel, not a destination.
Oh yeah, I love that. I love that, and I've been living that, like, within my head for quite a while. It was nice to see it written down in such simple terms that it's so palatable, and you can just keep, like, instead of it just being a mess of thoughts in your head, it's nice to have it as an organized thing that you can explain to people and communicate, because that's what I guess it's a lot of it is all about, is not just having great like ideas and stuff, but as these folk have done, put them in a book.
Yep. I've got one for the word illness as well. I thought this was kind of cool. I've never met a healthy person who worried much about his health or a good person who worried much about his soul. It took me a while to try and kind of interpret it. But what I was meaning is, well, this is what I kind of came to the conclusion. So, for people, for us, we're pretty healthy. We don't really worry about that we're going to get diabetes or stuff like that through bad eating habits, because we're living a pretty good lifestyle and we're staying healthy and fit. So we're not really worried about our health being a negative factor to our life, innit?
Yeah. And it might also mean in like a more causal sense, like if you spend your whole life, say, if you're someone who spends your whole life worrying about your soul, as they said, and contemplating whether you're good or bad and constantly in that dialogue in your head, then chances are you're probably not the best person if you're having to have that conversation with yourself. And the same with health. If you're always thinking about getting ill, it's probably going to make you ill.
Okay, do you want to ask me a word, to come up with a word, then I'll look it up?
Well, I'll have to ask you a letter, won't I? I don't know what words they are.
No, it's just, you can say words. So, you can say, like, just think of a word.
Okay, I don't know now. Why is it so hard to think of a good word that's going to be interesting?
It doesn't even have to be interesting.
Yeah,
but come on.
There's not going to be a good quote about a word like potato, is there? It's not like there's going to be any life-changing information within the realm of potatoes. I'm looking around my room crazily now, trying to find stuff. Yorkshire gritstone. Not going to be much there.
I don't think that'll be in this book, to be honest. I don't actually think there'll be potatoes either.
Really?
There's peanuts. There's peanuts. Should we read one of the peanuts?
Yeah.
I hate television. I hate it as much as peanuts. But I can't stop eating peanuts. Okay. That's not really inspiration.
Let's go to the letter M.
Okay, that's cool. I like
in M. And then read me some of the words, and then I'll decide which word.
Okay. Mind, men and women, men, marriage, mathematics, manners, magic, can't read that word, madness, musical instruments.
Let's go magic, because we were talking about David Blaine earlier. That seems fitting. Yeah.
Okay. One sec, bro. Magic. Okay. Any significant advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Indistinguishable?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, that's cool.
Using words to describe magic is like using a screwdriver to cut roast beef. The universe is full of magical things, patiently waiting for our wits to grow sharper.
Wow. Let's go to suffering. That must be in there, because we were talking about that last episode and the difference between pain and suffering.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's been touched on by anyone.
I'll look. Suffering. Okay. Science. self. Oh. The importance and unimportance of the self cannot be exaggerated. It's
exaggerated.
Oh. Yep. Mate, you know my words and you're not even reading the book.
Yeah, what can I say? Spent a lot of time around you.
Thanks. That's a fun game for you also, trying to guess what yeah. word I'm trying to read. Yeah,
you can play along at home. This can become a game show. This is a little section of the podcast. Guess what Max is trying to say. We'll just hand him an encyclopedia.
I have to try and read words. There's success. Okay, we're suffering. Yep. Most people get a fair amount of fun out of their lives, but on balance, life is suffering, and only the very young or very foolish imagine otherwise. Although the world is full of suffering, it is also fun, full of overcoming of suffering. That's cool. Yeah. A man will renounce any pleasures you like, but will not give up his suffering.
That's cool.
I quite like the book, you know.
Yeah. We can have one more quote. Open it on a random page. Last quote.
Okay.
Find a good one. We can talk about that, whatever's on there.
Ooh. Okay. Mind. The empires of the future are the empires of the mind. I don't even know, bro. The mind is like a parachute. It doesn't work if it's not open. Oh my god. That's a good cool one.
Isn't it weird that this is the mind talking about the mind, though?
Yep. Just like the conversation with, the brain named itself brain.
Yeah, but it's like an eye can't see an eye and a nose can't smell itself. So maybe it's pretty counterproductive for a mind to try and evaluate a mind. I don't know.
Yeah.
That probably doesn't make any sense, but like, it's probably going to be pretty easy to miss something when you're so involved in it, as with the not being able to see your own eye. Like, it might be hard to, whatever the mind is, think your own mind without any bias or blind spot. Shit.
We should come up with our own quotes, bro. I'm sure we will at some point. I always try and come out with my own quotes. I feel like I came out with one when me and Emily Phillips were doing circuits. I said something like, to do with tunnel vision, but I've got tunnel vision but good peripheral vision or something. So you're focused on one thing, but also you're not letting that one thing determine your whole life and exclude you from experiencing other things or looking at things which could help that, which you could lose sight of because you're so focused on it.
Yeah.
If you get what I mean. But let's speak about an open mind. Cause
Yeah.
I think that could be interesting. Because me and you speak about that in private quite a lot. Having an open mind. And we're always working towards having one. And I feel like, for me, my mind has been open quite a bit. And I understand things more. But then I always catch myself when I'm being close-minded. And I'm like, shit. I have these thoughts still. Because I feel like we're always going to be... Well, maybe not, but...
Well, I think the act of catching yourself is... like the bicep curl, in the sense that it's that very act of noticing when you're going off path that helps you correct yourself. Like in the long term, you can't suddenly with anything jump from one state to another pretty much unless you have some like grand transcendental epiphany and then everything changes for you and your whole perspective of the world shifts, which is extremely rare. And that doesn't really happen. It
Yeah.
You do need to go through the stage where you're constant in this self-corrective place. And that's the hardest part, is to get to that stage, is to break out of the cycle from being so stuck inside your head that you can't see when you're like saying stuff or thinking thoughts that you probably shouldn't be thinking. You're just so like trapped in your own thoughts and so involved in them that you don't have the space in your head to step back and look at it objectively and see what's wrong. So yeah, the very act of like correcting it, I think, is the hardest step and the first step to improve it in whatever it is. And in this case, becoming more open-minded, it's definitely catching yourself out and not being happy with yourself, or not like being, not dismissing yourself and just thinking, okay, that's fine. Actually taking the time to evaluate what you're thinking and saying, and yeah, correcting it. Don't take the easy way out and just accept it, or tell everyone that you're open-minded and you don't have faults, and go to loads of protests so everyone knows that you're open-minded in one aspect of life. Of course, it's great to go and protest, that everyone should do that if there's a cause you're particularly passionate about, but that doesn't excuse you from actually correcting your own like internal turmoil just because you've like outwardly showing everyone that you're this like perfect figure.
Yeah, I feel like what you just said there falls into a lot with being this person you're not on social media as well, which,
yeah,
like you're putting a front on for other people to see, but then you're not actually that person, or you're not being real to you, true to yourself even. Because me and you could be chatting heaps of shit on this podcast and saying these things, but who actually knows if we're actually doing them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, maybe we're not.
I'm just saying, but me and you, we're true to ourselves and we're not lying. We're not going to be like, oh yeah, bruv, yesterday I was doing this training session and I was hitting these PBs and I was doing this and I felt amazing. But in reality, we were just sitting on our arse and playing Xbox. That's not who we are, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, you seem very convinced. I'm doing my job well. Yeah, no, I get what you mean, exactly. Yeah, if there's no point in really lying to yourself in the long run. I think we've probably figured that out by now, that there's absolutely no benefit to doing that, really.
Nope.
It doesn't benefit you, doesn't benefit Max, doesn't benefit anyone if I tell him that I'm smashing out 15 one-armers or whatever, because I'm not, and that's absolutely fine, because I'm not needing to. It's not like that's a benchmark that I should be at, so there's no point in lying about it.
Yeah, it's, I feel like that comes down to ego as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which I've been, I'm always so interested in ego and what your ego is, and there's good parts of your ego, isn't it? And there's also the bad parts. Well, yeah. Maybe, do you feel, Joe Rogan said this before, like having the ego, do you think you can separate yourself and not be so inspire or want to achieve excellence, but not let that get to you internally and feel like you're losing, or I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
I kind of, okay, so if you think about who has like historically the like smallest ego, it'd be like a Buddhist monk, wouldn't it, who doesn't have any possessions, all of that. But what do? They sit around and meditate all day and practice all of this, but you'd never get like a Buddhist monk who is an elite athlete, or you know, doing these amazing things, a great public talker or whatever. Like, it just doesn't happen, because if you're at that highest point where you've got complete detachment from your ego, then you're not needing to prove yourself to the world. But that may come with the burden of not being able to share what you've learned with the world. And also, it completely, like, lessens the amount of experiences you can have. Like, it's not all about having good, pleasant, fun experiences. Like, for a Buddhist monk, you're basically, well, it seems you limit yourself in some ways, in that you don't get to feel distress, you don't get to feel, like, worry and suffering and being judged and all that, and fear of people thinking badly of you. And obviously they aren't the most pleasant emotions, but there's still stuff you get to experience.
Yeah.
And I tried having, grow from.
I tried having that conversation with my sister about them emotions, and it didn't really go very well. But, because she made a TikTok of me and her, well, not me and her, but in the background is me standing beside Harry Styles. And she absolutely loves Harry Styles.
Can I interrupt quick? The other day, my friend from school sent me a message with a picture, with a screenshot of that, saying, "Is this your Max friend?" So yeah, you're going worldwide, Max. Someone just saw you by chance and recognised you.
That's madness. No, yeah, like, I'm about to get into that. But, yeah, heaps of people have seen that video or photo even. But yeah, she's obsessed with him. And she made a TikTok saying, because she got a job and she worked heaps of hours so she could, like, save up lots of money and see him and go travel and see his concerts or whatever. And they all got cancelled this year. Same with my comps. And I'm fine about it. But then I was saying to Rachel, like, look at the bigger picture and stuff also. And then, yeah, she's doing good for, but she made this TikTok and she's like, oh, it was kind of a jokey way. Well, it was a joke, saying how she worked so hard to try and, like, see him and stuff. And then I go climbing one time in London and I bump into the wall where he's at, where he's climbing for the first time ever. And I'm thrown about on holds, take my one arm swings to look like such a G, and that's my ego. But I'm just doing that, and then he comes up to me and he starts chatting to me. And then we climb for like an hour, me, Sam, or him, and his friend. And he's just like, because he's he's pretty impressed, because if you have not seen what me and Hamish does, or people listening who are probably high level climbers, and you see that for the first time, it's pretty cool to see, isn't it?
Yeah, he's entered your, like, church there, isn't he? That's like where you thrive, pretty much, is in that spot. If you bumped into him when you were getting singing lessons or something, it'd be completely different dynamic. But you're kind of this celebrity there, in the sense that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, so we're speaking to him for ages, climbing with him. Then I message my sister and tell her about it, and she was like crying. I'm not joking. She was like so jealous, and then trying to get me to, like, she was wanting to FaceTime me and stuff. I didn't feel comfortable doing that because I just viewed him as this person, and he's just trying to live his life and do this thing, and I didn't want to, like. Yeah, I just viewed him as, like, Harry. I don't fucking know. I was just, yeah. But I got a photo with him because she kept messaging me, be like, you need to get a photo. I don't, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck it, I'll get a photo. And then, yeah, she made this TikTok being like, my brother just bumped into him and I try and go to his concerts and stuff. And it got over 100,000 views.
That's mad.
And in the video, she's getting, like, in the comments, a lot of hate from people who know nothing about her and just saying how she's really spoiled and that she should let other people buy the tickets and people can't afford to do this and that she's a bad person because she's went out and got a job and paying for what she wants to do. And yeah, it kind of affected her quite, like, she was a bit upset about it.
It's a, like, if you start looking at comments, when there's that many people interacting with it, there's going to be some pricks, aren't there? There's going to be some people who are jealous. I hear it so much by people on like big podcasts or big YouTube channels saying like, you should never look at the comments because there's going to be like people who don't know the whole situation and are just wanting to get anger at something for whatever reason they have, probably no good reason. They're just wanting to be angry and they're taking it out and they know nothing about you and they've got no consequences for being like that. Like if those people who put those comments met your sister in person, they'd probably get along absolutely fine and they wouldn't have any issue. They wouldn't say anything about her being selfish or anything like that, because obviously she's done nothing wrong. They're just anonymous online and wanting to lash out at someone.
But yeah, I know, I've thought about this. So if we, when we become, if we reach our goals and become this big massive face and become world champions and stuff, then obviously our following will go bigger and then we open ourselves to that world of people giving us hate, you know? And I thought about that and kind of thought about how that would feel.
Well, I don't know. I never want to be like that well known like that. I mean, that's not a priority at all. Like, I would, in fact, probably avoid that at some costs just because I'm aware of all the negatives that come with it. No matter who you are, if you're showing your life to everyone, if you're giving them reason to hate you for whatever, then I feel it's probably not best anyway to just put that much information out.
I hear people always saying that them people who are commenting all these negative stuff, there must be some things happening in their lives which are pretty shitty, or they just don't do anything with themselves and they feel the need to object hate on other people. Because have you ever left negative comments on someone's post? You have no idea who they are. No,
believe it or not. It's not the type of thing I would do, but like, I would have said like jokey, like bad stuff behind people's back. And I mean, everyone has at some point.
Yeah.
And that is probably, again, to a lesser extent, just a projection of some insecurity or, I don't know, anger at the world for whatever reason. But yeah, I would never make it like personal or something like that. I mean, I try hard not to, but I just like taking the piss out of things because it's fun and funny and it's just who I am. I'm quite cynical. So yeah, as long as I'm not doing that out of a bad place, I think it's all right.
But I feel like people who are really close to you understand you're not doing it from a place of hate, are you? And you're just, that's your sense of humour, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun.
People can deal with it. I can't, like, if I was to be myself online, like on Instagram, if I was to just be myself like Darren Till does and post shit like that, I don't think it would work out too well. Not because I'm a dislikable person or like I'm a horrible guy, but just over like Instagram or whatever, it's quite hard to catch on to sarcasm or when someone's joking or taking the piss out of something lightheartedly. So in order for me to post on Instagram, I have to like get rid of that whole part of my persona, and that's just not like really what I want to do. I don't want to have to be constantly thinking how people are going to interpret what I'm saying and
being someone you're not, or I don't know. Yeah, I feel like that's why you don't really, I don't want to say what you do or don't, but you like, you don't enjoy posting on Instagram heaps, do you?
No, not at all. I mean, if I've got something big to share, I like it.
Yeah, because that's fun, isn't it? Like, yeah, I enjoy lighting down my thoughts and being like, sharing it to people. I think that's fun. And I like, this is why I enjoy the podcast as well. Because I feel we can be a bit more free. But
100%, yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah. And I like, if I've got something big to share, I do like doing it. But I don't like filling gaps when I've got nothing to say to the world and nothing to show people. And I'm just posting something for the sake of it. And I do that sometimes because I'm supposed to for whatever reason and to try and get some income. But generally, I much prefer just to not to just say stuff for the sake of saying it. In life as well, I don't mind being in silence with people, like if it's comfortable, and just being able to appreciate that silence as some, rather than just constantly filling the silence with useless information, because useless information is worse than no information, in my opinion. Just saying something for the sake of it, posting something for the sake of it, doesn't get you anywhere. Just makes for people example, comfortable.
You made this example, which really, like, I love how you're at a sunset and you're looking at the beautiful sunset with someone, and you both know it's beautiful, but yet we still go, "Ah, oh, this is nice."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much sums it up. Looking at a beautiful sunset, and you feel the need to say, "Wow, it's beautiful, isn't it?"
Of course it is, you fucking.
And when people say that, I'm just like cringing so much in my head. I'm just like,
I do that so much. I do that so much.
I find myself doing it. And I really dislike it when I do.
I kind of enjoy it. I don't care.
It's nice. Yeah, again, a fine line between sharing a moment and making sure someone else is on the same page.
Yeah.
And stating the obvious 24/7. But yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I sometimes, I don't know if I can make this. I always can't make decisions that well for myself. I don't know why. I need to figure this out. Because I'm going home to Aberdeen, okay? And hopefully Cullen Walls are opening maybe 4 weeks' time. I hope. No idea. But so I might come, I'll come back down for when Cullen Walls open up. Because they'll be opened in England before they are in Scotland. And I was like to Mark, "Oh, when should I go home?" And he's like, "You're 19 years old. You can make that decision for yourself." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Now I phoned my dad and I was like, "When should I come home?" He's like, "You can make that decision yourself." I was like, "Oh, I just, Mark just said the same thing."
I got you, I noticed that you are sometimes a bit indecisive, not in a bad way, I'm not.
No, yeah, I am, obviously. For sure.
But like, yeah, okay. if we have to make a decision, like, when do we post this, or when should we do that? Like, you'll say, "Oh, do you think so?" Or, like, "What do you think?" I don't know, I think you need to trust your judgment a bit more, maybe. This is our therapy session, our public therapy session. Just need to trust yourself. As said earlier.
I wonder where that first comes from, you know? If it was something from my childhood, what's happened, which led me to question and feel the need, which I have to feel what I need someone to make these decisions for me, even.
It may be because you've made some wrong decisions before. Don't want to repeat that.
Yeah, that could be it also. I don't know. Maybe I should meditate to it and just try and figure it out. I don't know. But I feel I've made some big decisions myself. Like, I've came down to Leeds. That was a
big decision. Yeah, I did.
It's confusing, isn't it? It's weird.
I don't understand it. I'm not.
Or maybe I feel guilty for going up to Aberdeen because I won't have such a good facility to train on.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe you feel guilty for feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Shit. Did you see a therapist?
Shut up, man. I'm good. I'm excited to. I want to go home. I think I'll be nice, man.
Yeah.
I feel like
it'll be good.
Good for me. I'll have maybe a, my, I'll just be like refreshed when I come back, and I'll be in a. I'm grafting so hard at the moment, so I'll continue to train up there. But when I come down, it'll be hopefully a nice little break or time away, whatever you call it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think I'll be good. A little change of scene. See your family. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You haven't seen them in 6 months or whatever.
Bonkers, bro. Bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who swimming, else is going to be there? Your sister still?
My sister's still there. Yeah, she will be. I'll see her. I might see my brother. I'll see. We can go on social distance walks. So
yeah,
I think that's feasible. So it'd be nice to see him as well. Big man, Alex. Alexander.
Alexander. Alexander. Mill.
Alexander Mayer. He had a different dad.
Oh, sorry. I thought, as I said Milne, I thought, that's not Milne, is it?
Oh, on, so Alex. you said sorry then. That's one thing I do a lot. I always say sorry for things which I shouldn't apologise for.
So do I, apparently.
Have you noticed
just
that?
Just then, but yeah, I feel probably sorry about that. I should stop.
But yeah, I always... Mark says that to me a lot. Alicia says that a lot. My dad says this a lot. Everybody says that a lot. So
it's hard to reply sorry when someone says it.
Yeah, they're like, you don't need to say sorry. And I'm like, sorry.
Sorry, I'll stop. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. Probably just trying to please everyone.
Yeah. Oh, this is really interesting. So on this cooking show, which Mark's watches, there's this guy who was he was in a concentration camp, and he's like a therapist, and for his what he uses for to help people get over being in concentration camps or whatever, he says you have to, the meaning to have a meaningful life, you need to do something for other people. And he feels like in concentration camps, people who survived are people who had families or daughters or girlfriends or whatever, and they're like, I gotta make it out of here and stay alive for these people. So adding a greater meaning to what your own life.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, human connection stuff. Basically, all there is, be a bit lonely. Mm. You wouldn't have any purpose, really.
So
I see what you're trying to say, yeah.
So now I was thinking of what I do. So my thought I came to was, okay, so I'm wanting to become world champ. And through becoming world champ, I can go to my old school and show my medals and try and inspire and show that little kids can choose their own path and do what they want to do instead of falling into that system of go uni, get a job, just work until you retire, and when you retire you can enjoy your life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and maybe that's what we're trying to do now in some ways, share what we've learned and help other people who, like, say when we were 14, 15 years old, not that long ago, we probably would have found what we're saying now so, so useful to hear at that time. And I'm sure there's people who are listening now who, well, I hope there are, who are finding some comfort in what we're saying, or like finding some like help in what we're saying about anything. I don't know what you get out of it, but yeah, I know I would have, just to know other people are thinking what I was thinking back then. Just yeah.
Even with meditation, if we did that at a younger age, we'd be where we are now in this. Well, we could be, you know what I mean, like in that mental space. It's so useful, meditation. I always try and get people close to me to do it, and because it benefits me so much.
Yeah, Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more there. Just, there's loads of little insights and stuff. And just like tips like that, that I would have valued so much. Hearing it from first hand, because I was told to meditate, like, not told, but I tried Headspace when I was, I don't know, 14 or something. But it's not as effective to just be told that it might work, rather than to hear from someone who you trust or like hear about a lot, or you know it's worked for. Like, it's completely different. So yeah, if I heard this a while ago, it'd have been brilliant.
Having someone you really trust as well, in like people you trust in your life saying stuff, it just makes you feel that it's something you should definitely consider to do, in it. Because when you come to me with ideas, or Mark comes to me, and like even Alex Lamel as well, like I listen to them ideas. I don't just like, they're chatting shit. Nah, if they're telling me something, then they're not just doing it for they're not just doing it for banner.
Yeah, I get that so much. Yeah, it's being critical, because sometimes I will have an idea and it won't be a great idea just because I haven't thought it through properly. And it's like, you've got a good balance of listening first of all, like saying, yeah, that could be cool, and then saying, what about this, or giving an alternative, or trying to adapt it to something that will be better in practice. Yeah, having that like dynamic relationship where you're listening and you're constantly wanting to share ideas, not just so you can share it for them, but so they can improve on it and like shape this idea into something actually useful.
Yeah, bro. And then I feel like you learn from it and actually understand why you're doing these things, which is a big point to me. Like, I don't want to just like do something and not know why I'm doing it, you know.
100%.
Really? I heard that in a song yesterday. It was why is our, it's to do with why be educated if we can't teach what we've been taught.
Ooh.
Or something. Yeah.
That's cool.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, not just learning stuff, but actually like internalizing it and understanding it.
Yeah,
I like that.
Ooh. Like it a lot.
How is it almost 2? What?
Bro, man, yesterday it was 5 o'clock and I was like, what? How? How is it 5? Like, the days went so fast. It's mad. And yeah,
what
it's 2 already.
That's crazy. I'm going to go to lunch
here. Life is short, bro. I swear. You forget.
It's short, but that's nice. Gives it some meaning.
It does. Well, it means we have to actually make use of our time instead of just like sitting about doing nothing.
Sitting about speaking to a computer.
Yeah,
as we are now.
Just speaking to a piece of glass and plastic, which will be put into the sky and sent over to people all over the world or all over the UK to listen to. It's
such
just
a waste
of
time. Yeah, well, I'm going to go eat something. Don't know what yet.
I'm going to go for a piss and then eat something also. I might have a salad and toast and eggs. That's what I've been having, salads recently. I quite enjoy that.
I think when you suddenly like find something that you suddenly crave, you probably should eat a lot of it. You might be like low in iron and need spinach or something, or I don't know what else is in salad.
I eat spinach every single day, fam. It's so good for you. It's got anti-inflammatories as well. Like, oh my god.
Oh, I've been having recently, what's it? Stinging nettle drops.
Stinging nettles? I had stinging nettles on my pizza, bruv. It's so good. Like, they're so good.
It's like such a good anti-inflammatory. And my mum got them. She found out about them because she saw some old women with arthritis rubbing their hands in a nettle patch. And like, my mum asked what what they're doing, and they were like, stinging nettles are good for you, anti-inflammatory and all that. And then she looked into it.
Really?
Got some stinging nettle drops, yeah. So I've been having
that's
that.
Some knowledge. I didn't know that. I didn't know
ancient
they were like...
wisdom. Look at that.
Okay. I'll have a look, bro. I'll have a look.
Yeah, I've only done it for a couple of days. It takes a week or so, I think, to feel you have any benefit.
Yeah, use it. Like, you can't just like diet, innit? If you eat a shit diet and eat a salad once every 4 years, you're not eating healthy.
What? Right. I'm gonna go eat a salad then.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat some food.
And it's over an hour. Shit, okay. Well, thanks for listening to episode 12. We'll have the little training video out in the very near future, probably a couple days' time. So hope you enjoy listening to that. We've got some other ideas lined up that we'll be sharing with you all soon. So, yeah.
Yep, so thanks for watching. I hope everyone's having a good weekend and... yeah. Peace.
Peace. Damn.